Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, people, and once again, this is Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is the Master Plan. And you know what time it is?
Time to win!
Yes, sir. That's the theme of today. It's time to win. For most of you that are in the fantasy football playoffs, this is the semifinals. This is where it's either win, quite naturally in all the playoffs, you win, you're gone, or it's championship time. For those of you who have 2 weeks for playoffs, this is the first week of the championship round. For the others who have 1 week playoffs, this is the semifinals. So regardless of whether you're going for the championship or you're trying to get to the championship after this week, it's time to win. That's all I have. That's what I'm going to say about this. Bear with me. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm trying to fight through it because this is how I do, and I want to be there for you. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to ask the question of me. Okay? I also have a chat room. You can also ask the question or make a statement or a comment, whatever, on the chat room. It's always open for you. It's just another avenue of venue of you getting information or interacting and communicating with me. Any way you want to do it, for those of you who listen to the archives, I've been getting a lot of listeners lately, of late for the last month or so, and I really appreciate that. We have another week. This is week 15. We have two more weeks. Some week people go to week 17. So I'm going to go all the way to the last week of the NFL season, week 17, to try to help you win your championship regardless of what week you get into your championship round. I'm there for you. And like I said, I appreciate the listeners that are listening live, and I also appreciate the ones that are listening in the archives after the show's been over and they decide to jump into it. Hopefully, the information I've been giving you ever since the summer, hopefully all the information I've been giving you, you've taken notes, you tried some of them, some of them may not work, a lot of them worked. Hopefully it's gotten you to the point where you're in the playoffs and you have a strong team to possibly get to the championship. Part of it is getting the right players in the right position at the right time, and part of it is having a little luck, just like it is in the real life NFL. Regardless of what you do, you still have to have a little luck in order for things to work out for you and get to that championship and win that pot of gold at the end of the championship. Wait, hold on for a minute. Taking steady doses of vitamin C, trying to fight through my cold or whatever I have here. So, but without further ado, let's get to these things today. For those of you, let's hit the first game. Let's get to the first game. What the heck? The New York Giants go visit Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons in the Georgia Dome. Matt Ryan is 28-4 in the Georgia Dome. I see this being a shootout. This is going to be a shootout. Eli Manning and Matt Ryan are probably going to throw for both over 300 yards. Both these guys are definitely starters. Absolutely. If you have one or the other, I know Matt Ryan is not on the bench or anywhere. Possibly Eli Manning could be sitting on the bench because a lot of people don't see Eli Manning as a viable fantasy football quarterback. Don't know why, but it's a possibility he may be out there. Trust me, if you are looking for Eli Manning and he happens to be sitting on the bench, sitting in the waiver wire, grab him up. This other guy, we're going to go with the Giants first. This other guy, Ahmad Bradshaw is not playing. So for those Ahmad Bradshaw owners, hopefully, as I said a few weeks ago, you picked up your handcuffs of your starters. And Ahmad Bradshaw being one of those starters that is injury risk that you picked up. David Wilson. I had talked about David Wilson a few weeks back. I was high on him coming into the season for the simple fact that he was a dynamic, explosive running back. And unfortunately, things didn't work out earlier in the year. But hopefully you stuck with him and kept him on the bench as a safeguard. I know Andre Brown took over for a short bit, but he was not an every down back or a durable back. So for the times that he played, it was just a matter of time before he got hurt because he just was not that type of back. He's bounced around from team to team, and he was not a durable back. Same as Matt Bradshaw is not a durable back. Well, here comes David Wilson, who had last week over a combined kick returner running and all-purpose yards of over 300 yards. So they're going to use this kid. They're going to use this kid. This kid, especially on the turf, this kid's going to get, should get over 100 yards and probably getting into the end zone, more than likely get into the end zone. Atlanta's not the most stout running defense they can be run on. And I think David Wilson, as long as he holds on to the ball, that's the key. You got to hold on to the ball, David. It's going to have a pretty good day. Also with Martellus Bennett, you're looking for a tight end. Down in the red zone, Eli Manning likes to throw to a big target, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere around there, Martellus Bennett. So get him into your lineup if you're searching for a tight end. If Gronk's not available or Jimmy Graham's not available and you're not too sure about Kyle Rudolph, it doesn't hurt to get Martellus Bennett in there. I think he's going to get double-digit numbers here. Quite naturally, these two other wide receivers, Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, is a no-brainer. Excuse me, especially Victor Cruz. They're on rosters right now, so you're not going to get him. On the other side, I told you about Matt Ryan. For a flex, Jacquizz Rodgers is coming on. He's getting more and more touches as Michael Turner is starting to really slow down and not be as much of a force as he was earlier in the year. Jacquizz Rodgers is a good flex option here. If you're looking for a flex, you're looking for someone that is going to give you some points, especially in the PPR, Jacquizz Rodgers is your man. Quite naturally, the three, the G, J, and W, talking about Gonzalez, Jones, and White, especially Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones, I see them getting about 6 to 7 catches. Tony Gonzalez getting about 60 to 70 yards, probably gets into the end zone. Julio Jones, the Giants can be thrown on, and Roddy White is a game time decision because he hold on a minute here, let me just look. see what's happening here. He didn't practice all week, and like I said, he's a game-time decision because he's dealing with a knee issue. So Julio Jones, if you're one of the fortunate ones to have Julio Jones, you may reap the rewards of Roddy White not being in there, even though Julio Jones usually plays his best away from the Georgia Dome. But this is what I consider a perfect storm. A bad secondary in the New York Giants, and Julio Jones being the main option because Roddy White may not play or will not be as effective as he normally would. So Julio Jones is a bet there. Let's move on to the Packers and the Bears. There's a lot of good matchups, people, a lot of good matchups. Giants and Falcons, Packers and Bears, Bucks and Saints, Broncos and Ravens, Colts and Texans, Steelers and Bills, and the 49ers and Patriots. There's a lot of good matchups, a lot of good matchups here. You're probably not going to hear anything out of the ordinary, but I'm trying to give it to you. If there's a possibility that I see something out of the ordinary, you'll be the first to know. Guarantee it. Excuse me there for a minute. Okay, let's move on to the Packers and the Bears. Jay Cutler is dealing with a neck issue. He's gotten he was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but he went full go on Friday, and quite naturally, he's expected to play. Michael Bush, if you happen to be a Michael Bush owner, he hasn't really done that much. He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, and he was limited on Friday, and he's a game-time decision. Earl Bennett, I don't know why you would have either Earl Bennett, who didn't practice all week and will not play because of a concussion, or Kellen Davis, which is, he was limited in practice Wednesday and Thursday, and practiced full on Friday, and he's expected to play. Unfortunately, Olindo Mari has taken over for Robbie Gould, who was placed on IR. So you got to look in a different direction if you had Robbie Gould. He can go with Olindo Mari, but there's a reason why he was not on any roster until Robbie Gould got hurt. So remember that. Points are critical here. Points are critical. This time of year, you're supposedly playing the hottest or the best teams in your league. So every decision that you make, whether it's a wide receiver, quarterback, running back, tight end, and defense, or a kicker, all these points are key. They're critical. I understand they're important during the regular season, not as much as they are for this season. For the playoff season. For the simple fact is, you have several games. You have another game to go on if you lose in a regular season. This is the playoffs. For those who have 1 week playoffs matches, you're one and done. If you don't win this week, you're not moving on to the next level, which would be the championship or the whatever round it is. If it's a 2 week, then at least you have another week to make up for what took place the prior week. But points are critical. Whether it's a 2 week playoff matchup or a 1 week matchup, points are critical. I said that over and over again. It makes a difference on a kicker, defense, and quite naturally all the skill positions. All right? So remember that. Let's move on to the Packers and the Chicago Bears in Chicago, in the Windy City. I told you about what the deal is with the Bears. Let's move on to Green Bay. James Starks is out. Didn't practice all week. He will not play. Unfortunately, your Jordy Nelson owners, he didn't practice all week because of his hamstring. And he will not play, okay? You may picked up another wide receiver like Donald Driver. He's limited in practice but all week, but expected to play, but I wouldn't think he would have a big role, especially when you have Jermichael Finley, you have James Jones, you have Randall Cobb, those guys. Donald Driver will play a limited role. I think Donald Driver is probably, this is his last year in Green Bay, to tell you the truth. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to throw over 300 yards. Alex Green will take over the duties of running the ball. Don't expect too much from him. For the simple fact is, this is regardless of how Chicago's defense has been playing, their run defense has been pretty stout. Their pass defense is what's been killing them, and that's what the Green Bay Packers are going to try to conflict their damage with is what their passing game. So expect Jermichael Finley to get into the end zone. I think he will get into the end zone. I really believe it. I think he's going to be about 4 or 5 catches, 40 to 50 yards. Randall Cobb is the big guy here. Greg Jennings is still trying to work his way back. But Randall Cobb is like the Blanky or whatever you want to call of Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's going to reap the rewards of Rodgers throwing to him. It seems like he catches everything that's thrown to him, 4, 5, 6 catches, about 60 to 70 yards in end zone visit. James Jones is a big play wide receiver. He only catches about 3 to 4 passes. Probably be 40 to 50 yards, somewhere around there. It's a possibility he gets into the end zone, but he is a big play wide receiver. So expect that from James Jones. And also, like I said, Greg Jennings is probably still working his way into the into game shape for the most part. So he won't be contributing much. He'll contribute, but he won't be contributing much for the simple fact is that the other options Aaron Rodgers has. Jay Cutler, playing at home. Clay Matthews is supposed to be coming back this week, so that's going to improve the pass rush, which is not good news for Jay Cutler, who's dealing with a neck issue. He is slated to play. I see him getting about 250, 260 yards, somewhere around there. Throwing a lot to Brandon Marshall because the options of the Chicago Bears is very few, especially with Earl Bennett not being there. Excuse me. I'm trying to throw to Alshon Jeffrey and Kellen Davis, who's a tight end. There's not too many options in the Chicago Bears passing game, but they're also going to try to run the ball with Matt Forte. Like I said, Michael Bush is more than likely not going to play, or it's going to be a game time decision. Let me put it that way. So, Brandon Marshall is probably going to have 8 to 9 catches, over 100 yards, which is pretty standard for Brandon Marshall. Matt Forte, Green Bay Packers can be run on, even with the Clay Matthews coming back. So. There's no surprise, guys, in any one of these teams. So let's move on to the Redskins and Browns. Hurry this up a little bit. We got 40 minutes. Yeah, that's not. We're fine. We're fine. Redskins and Browns. For those RG3 players, or owners, I should say, he ain't playing tonight. He ain't playing today. I hate to say it like that, but he is not playing today. He'll be inactive. Kirk Cousins is going to take his spot. If you have a roster spot, if you were smart enough to grab Kirk Cousins, then you can use him in your lineup. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with no quarterback, unfortunately. You're going to be scrambling for a quarterback that really won't give you the points that you were looking for out of comparable. Well, you're not going to get something like comparable to RG3, but Kirk Cousins. You insert Kirk Cousins into that lineup. He probably not going to give you the same point production, but he'll give you decent production. I would play Kirk Cousins because I think they're going to have to throw in this game. They do throw. Let me put it this way. In the Shanahan offense, Alfred Morris is going to get the ball a lot in this game for the simple reason, and I have to go back and think about this for a minute. They're playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. They're going to be running the ball a lot. Cleveland can be run on. Cleveland has a better pass defense than a run defense. So Alfred Morris is going to get the ball a lot. But don't discount what Kirk Cousins can do. Doesn't have a lot of great options other than Pierre Garçon. I expect Garçon to get 5 to 6 catches, 70 to 80 yards, somewhere around there. 60 to 70 yards, somewhere around there. I really believe that that's probably the only option that's of any decency in here. Let's move over to Cleveland. Brandon Whedon should have a very good day today, throwing against that one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Washington pass defense is horrible, even though Trent Richardson is probably going to get about 60 to 70, 80 yards, somewhere around there, because Washington's run defense is more stout than their pass defense. So I'm looking for a pretty decent day from Josh Gordon and Ben Watson. I think Josh Gordon is going to have 5 to 6 catches. Six catches, somewhere around there, 70, 75 yards, and a visit to the end zone. All right, let's move on to the Vikings and the Rams. Christian Ponder has been absolutely horrible. Horrible. For those who have had Kyle Rudolph, Kyle Rudolph had a big fat zero last week. He probably helped kill your fantasy team in the playoffs, which happened to me. Like I said, points are critical. You can't afford to get a donut from any position. And Kyle Rudolph had a donut. Now, this is not the first time, but you would think with Percy Harvin not being in the lineup and on IR that Christian Ponder would rely on his tight end. No, didn't happen. Did not happen. AP went wild. He should have his 100 and over 100 yards because he's trying to get eclipse Eric Dickerson's record. So he should have over 100 yards. I think they're going to make an effort to get Kyle Rudolph the ball for the most part. So he's going to get about 4 or 5 catches, about 40 to 50 yards, somewhere around there. I said it last week, and I'll say it this week. Jarius Wright. Percy Harvin is not in the lineup. So what they're going to do is they like to use Jarius Wright in that position. He's got somewhat of the same skill set of Percy Harvin, so they're going to use him. So I know it's a roll of the dice. I know that you could probably get up some other options, but if you can't, if you're in a real big league, 14, 16-team league, and you're scrounging around for a wide receiver, it's high risk, high reward. Let me put it that way. Jarius Wright on the Minnesota Vikings. Let's move on to the other side. They're playing at home. They have a pretty good defense. They're going to run the ball. they're going to run the ball. Steven Jackson should get his 100 yards and probably get a visit in the end zone. I like Chris Givens in there. You know, if Danny Amendola plays, and all reports is that it's a strong possibility that he will play. Let me see what we got here. He's expected to play, so you know that he likes to, Sam Bradford likes to throw to Danny Amendola, and he's a PPR machine. So if he's healthy and in the lineup, 10 to 15 PPR points is what I'm thinking. Five catches for 50 yards, or five or six catches for 60 or 70 yards, somewhere around there. 10 to 15 fantasy points if it's in a PPR league. Okay? I like Chris Givens. Chris Givens is a big play wide receiver. Sam Bradford likes throwing to him. Four or five catches, 60 to 70 yards, and Minnesota can be thrown on and thrown deep on. So I think that if he throws deep to Chris Givens, he'll get into the end zone. So some of you may already have Danny Amendola or may not. Chris Givens may be still sitting out there. I had talked about this guy weeks ago. Hopefully you grabbed him. Some people may have dropped him. Hopefully you picked him up. And this is one of the times that I definitely will play this kid. I definitely don't think he's going to come through with some nice, decent numbers, wide receiver 2-3 numbers. So pick him up. Let's move on to the Jaguars and the Dolphins. Excuse me. The Battle of Florida in here. One player I have on the Jags, Justin Blackman. They really don't have any options. All these options are being going by the wayside. MJD is not going to be playing. So, and who knows when he'll ever come back. Cecil Shorts had a concussion. He was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. He practiced fully on Friday and is expected to play. Montel Owens is the running back that's supposed to fill in. That's supposed to be the running back. Miami, I wouldn't trust a third or fourth string running back to be effective against the Miami run defense that's been pretty effective for the most part all year. So if Cecil Shorts is a full go, then if you have him, or if he happens to be, and he shouldn't be, but if he happens to be sitting on the waiver wire, pick him up. Or Justin Blackman, one of these guys. I know it's Chad Henne thrown to him, but the Miami defense can be thrown on it. They're better against the run than they are against the pass. And both these teams are not that good, Jacksonville being the worst of the two teams. I see them running the ball a lot in here and taking their chances downfield. I don't like Daniel Thomas in here. Reggie Bush is making a little small resurgence back. The Jaguars can be run on. So I see Reggie Bush getting about 80 yards or something like that. look for Brian Hartline to have a decent go here. I don't think Devon Best is going to be playing. He's out with a back. Those catches that would have gone to Devon Best's way, for the most part, are going to go Brian Hartline's way. So six or seven catches. He may even eclipse the 100-yard mark here. One of a few times up until the early part of the season that Brian Hartline may eclipse the 100-yard mark. Excuse me there. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm trying to fight through this, like I said. Let's move on to the Bucks and the Saints. Shootout. Let me put it this way. The Bucks are the better team against the run. Both teams can't defend the pass well. So what's that saying to you? The Bucks are going to run the ball. Doug Martin is going to be running the ball quite naturally, over 100 yards. I see him getting into the end zone. Okay. I don't see anything effective in the running game with the New Orleans Saints. I see Josh Freeman throwing for about 300 yards in this game. I really believe that. They're going to be able to run the ball, but they're definitely going to take their shots downfield. And I see he's going to be throwing for about 270, 75 yards, somewhere around there. Quite possibly, like I said, 300 yards. One touchdown pass, Vincent Jackson, or Mike Williams, or both, I should say. I think both of these guys get into the end zone. Believe it or not, and I've said this before, the Saints are one of the better teams defending against the tight end. So I'm not looking for a big day or a decent day from Dallas Clark. So look somewhere else in the another direction for a tight end if you need it. You know, Drew Brees, his standard is over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Okay, he's going to do that in this game because they definitely can be run on the passed on. Jimmy Graham is probably going to be a recipient of that. Marcus Colston is probably going to be the other recipient of that. And Lance Moore is the PPR guy here that if he happens to be sitting there, he shouldn't be, but if he happens to be sitting there and you're in need of a wide receiver, grab Lance Moore. There's no surprises here. These are all quite standard guys that are coming out of here. Let's move on to the Broncos and the Ravens. Broncos and the Ravens. Well, this is the deal here. Peyton Manning is going to Baltimore to play against his old head coach, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Peyton Manning, his standard, just like Drew Brees, 300 yards, a couple touchdowns. I don't expect anything less than that. Noshon Moreno, I see him being able to run on this Baltimore. I've said it over and over and over again. I hope people listen to what I was saying. Baltimore's defense is not what it used to be. It's in name only, even when all their pieces were in place. Even when Terrell Suggs was there, even when Ray Lewis was there, even when Bernard Pollard was there. Trust me when I'm telling you this. You look back from the beginning of the season until now, they're not the same team. They can be run on. They can be passed on. It's an older defense, and it's only a name only. It's not as stout as it was. It can rise up to the occasion when it plays its arch rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But for the most part, week in and week out, this is not the same defense. Peyton Manning's going to be able to throw on this defense. Noshon Moreno should be able to run on this defense. Joel Dreesen came up pretty big last week. I think he can come up fairly decent this week. So if you're looking for a sneaky play in a tight end position and you have no options, Joel Dreesen, whatever you want to pronounce his name, I think he's going to get about four or five catches, somewhere around there, and 30 to 40 yards, and he could make an end zone visit. Peyton Manning likes throwing to the tight end in the end zone. He has two young guns, Demaryius Thomas, number 88, and Eric Decker, number 87, that he likes throwing to. Thomas gets the most touches here, 5 or 6 catches, close to 100 yards, and it probably be end zone visit. Eric Decker is more of the short yardage PPR guy, but he's going to get about 4 catches, about 60 to 70 yards, and there's a possibility. He's another favorite target of Peyton when they get down in the end zone, the tight end and Eric Decker. So I have Decker and Dreesen on both of my on a few of my rosters, and I'm going to play him this week if I don't have a better option. Jim Caldwell, first-time play caller, calling as the offensive coordinator for Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco never had any other offensive coordinator other than Cam Cameron up until now. And Cam Cameron was always on the sideline. Jim Caldwell is going to be up in the booth. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I know that they practiced and they're going to run the no-huddle offense. Jim Caldwell knows that well from his days in Indianapolis. So when you run the no-huddle, it's opportunity. The opportunities are going to be there. And targets equal opportunities, and opportunities means that you have a lot better chance of reaping the rewards of all the targets that are going to be thrown to you. So Dennis Pita, which the Broncos are not a strong defense against, is another. You notice I'm giving you tight ends here, all right? Tight end, Dennis Pita, 5 or 6 catches, 40 to 50 yards. Torrey Smith, 5 or 6 catches, 80 to 85 yards. Anquan Boldin, 5 to 6 catches, 80 to 90 yards. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. They're going to run the ball, but understand this. Denver has a pretty good defense, okay? Not bad against the run, better against the pass, but they're going to be trying to put points up on the board, Baltimore is, because they know they have to, because when Peyton gets the ball, they're going to, Peyton more than likely is going to be able to drive the ball down the field and get it into the end zone. So, first off, Baltimore's going to try to run the ball to keep the ball away from Peyton. But Peyton eventually has to get the ball. If Baltimore doesn't put up any points when they have possessions, they're going to have to eventually start throwing the ball, because you're not going to keep Denver out of the end zone. Let's move on to the Colts and Texans. Okay, let's move on. Colts and Texans. All right. Andrew Luck leads the league in interceptions with 17, and it's not even close to the next one, which is, I think, Drew Brees, or I think it's Drew Brees with 12 or something like that. So even though he's been playing well, even though he's got his team to 9-4, he's been throwing a lot of interceptions, and I don't think he's going to be exempt from here. I think he's going to throw at least one pick in this game. 260 yards. Good luck, Vic Ballard, trying to run against this defense. They're going to try to shut you down and make you one-dimensional. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. So if Vic Ballard gets about 60 yards, 65, 70 yards, he'll do well. Reggie Wayne. Believe it or not, the Houston Texans have been able to be passed on because the pass rush hasn't been getting to the quarterback. And Andrew Luck is a mobile quarterback, so I see him getting the ball to Reggie Wayne. I guess Reggie will catch about 6 balls, about 80 yards. The other two, T.Y. Hilton and Donnie Avery, about 3 or 4 catches, about 50, 55 yards, somewhere around there. On the other side, Matt Schaub. What the Houston Texans do is run the ball. They run the ball, they run the ball, they run the ball. Indianapolis can be run on. So Arian Foster should get his 100 yards and a touchdown. Daniel Owens should get his catches, 5 catches, about 50, 60 yards. Andre Johnson, they can be passed on. He should be able to. They're playing at home. He got humiliated on Monday night against the New England Patriots. So they're going to come out blazing, trying to make a statement that loss was an anomaly and blow away their division rival, which if they win this game, they can win the division, and delay that Indianapolis and it may be able to get into the playoffs. Okay? So it is what it is. I don't have anything special for that. Let's move on to the Lions and the Cardinals. Playing in Arizona, Matthew Stafford, he's going to get his 300 yards because he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. 58-0. That's what the score was last week between Arizona and Seattle. Seattle, 58-0. You think these guys have packed it in? You think these guys have said, where are we going on vacation? I think they may have. I think that if Detroit starts getting a couple touchdowns up, I think these guys are going to quit, and it's going to be a huge blowout. I think Kel Ashore is going to be able to run on this defense. This team has been very disappointing. LeSure is going to run for about you know what? Let me tell you something here. Joyke Bell has been getting more and more touches, okay? And this is another sneaky play. You're looking for a running back, especially if it's in a PPR. For the most part, a lot of teams are looking for running backs because of the myriad of running backs that have gone down. So if you're looking for a running back, Joyke Bell more than likely may be on the waiver wire. You have nothing to lose if you're looking for one anyway, and the ones you have is you're not too pleased with. So why not pick up Joyke Bell and put him in there? And it's a high risk, high reward. You got nothing to lose anyway. If the other choice that you had, you weren't too happy with, why not put somebody that may have some upside and maybe able to do a few things? He's been getting more and more, this has been more of a timeshare than a lot of people think. So Joyke Bell is a very good choice here. Calvin Johnson is a no-brainer. He's not on anybody's waiver wire, so I'm not even thinking about that. Brandon Pettigrew is not going to be playing, so hopefully you don't have him in your lineups. Tony Scheffler is the deal here, so he's going to be playing, and he's going to get reap the rewards of Matthew Stafford. They've been using Tony Scheffler in the slot position. I kind of doubt it now that Pettigrew is likely going to put him in the tight end position. So. Grab Tony Scheffler because a lot of leagues have Tony Scheffler sitting on the waiver wire. Grab him because he's going to be getting quite a bit of work against the Arizona Cardinals, and I would definitely put him in there as a filler for one of my tight ends if you don't have one. It's very hard for me to even suggest that you grab Larry Fitzgerald. I know that John Skelton and Larry Fitzgerald haven't been on the same page. This is This is the worst year Larry Fitzgerald has ever had because the horrible play of the quarterbacks and the carousel quarterbacks have been in and out of the lineup and have been very ineffective. There's really no one on the Arizona team, not even a sleeper, that I would pick that I could honestly say with any kind of confidence, other than Larry Fitzgerald, you can't guarantee what's going to happen there. Even though Detroit has a weak secondary, I can't with all confidence give you Larry Fitzgerald. Even though what do you have to lose? Put him in there and hope for the best. Let's move on to the Panthers and the Chargers. Oh, sorry about that. Let me move on. Panthers and the Chargers playing in San Diego. Cam Newton has been ripping it up of late. And I don't think he will in this game. I think he throws for a little over 200 yards, 240 yards, somewhere around there. He may throw for a touchdown pass. But San Diego, even though the Norvell Turner's fate has been sealed as being fired, they play well against Pittsburgh, which was surprising. And they're home now, and I think, like they always do, they have a late-season resurgence and playing well. So I can't say they're not going to play well because history says they will. So I'm going to take the approach that Cam Newton doesn't have a real good day. D'Angelo Williams is going to be running the ball along with Mike Tolbert, but I can't see them being overly effective. I know San Diego historically has been bad against the tight end, so I can recommend Greg Olsen as a start in the tight end position. I think he's going to be about 4 or 5 catches, about 50 yards, and probably visit the end zone. But the favorite target of Cam Newton, it always and has been, is Steve Smith, 5 or 6 catches, 80 yards, and I see him getting into the end zone also. On the other side, Phillip Rivers has been very sporadic, very inconsistent. You never know what you're going to get with Phillip Rivers. I didn't expect what I got from Phillip Rivers last week, and he's playing home. The confidence level is probably high because they play well against Pittsburgh, and they hadn't beaten Pittsburgh in a dog's age. So the confidence has got to be real high. So I see Phillip Rivers throwing for about 250, 275 yards and a couple touchdown passes. I'm not too confident on Ryan Matthews. I never have been, never will be. I don't see him as a everyday start and every down back. So you play him at your own risk. That's all I can tell you. You play him at your own risk. I really can't say want to play him at all. You got Antonio Gates. Very disappointing season for Antonio Gates. Extremely disappointing. Play him at your own risk against the Carolina Panthers, who their best suit is the pass defense. But I think Denario Alexander he's been lighting him up in the wide receiver position, and I don't see any reason for him to stop now. So 5 to 6 catches, 70, 75 yards, and a touchdown catch. I see him doing that. He's a good wide receiver, too. He's on borderline. Let me tell you, people, he's on the borderline of being wide receiver one because Denario Alexander, if he's still sitting out there, he should not be. I told you about this guy weeks ago. Denario Alexander should not be sitting on the waiver wire. I picked him up on a waiver wire in a couple of leagues. Couldn't believe it. Have him in my lineups. So I expect Denario Alexander to have a big day today against the Carolina Panthers at home. Let's move on to the Seahawks at the Bills, and they're playing in Toronto. They're not playing in Buffalo. They're playing indoors, which is going to be an advantage for the Seahawks. Playing indoors, out of the elements versus playing in Buffalo, which would be nice, windy and cold, a typical cold, rainy Buffalo day, but it's not going to be like that. They're playing indoors. Russell Wilson has been absolutely amazing. Amazing. Let me tell you something. He's been amazing. And I see Russell Wilson throwing for about 220 yards. He's not going to be throwing for a whole bunch because that's not how the Seahawks roll. But he'll be effective. He will be effective. I'm not even going. Marshall Lynch is a no-brainer to me. This is one of the guys that I think is I've been hesitant to tell you about, but I'm not going to be anymore because I think he's on par with the other wide receiver. I'm talking about Golden Tate. I see Golden Tate and Sidney Rice getting about the same amount of catches, about four to five catches, 50 to 60 yards, somewhere around there. And don't be surprised if Golden Tate gets into the end zone. Sidney Rice is more of a big play wide receiver. Golden Tate is more of a short yardage, but I can see both of these guys getting into the end zone against the Buffalo Bills. Who their pass defense is not that bad, but I can see them getting taken advantage of with this Seahawk offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick. I see him throwing for about 220 yards. This is a very, extremely tough Seattle defense. Strong against the run, extremely strong against the pass. So don't expect a lot from any of these Buffalo Bills players. Even though I think C.J. Spiller, because of his speed, can get 70 to 80 yards rushing. I think the combination of him rushing and catching the ball out of the backfield is going to give him probably a total of close to 100 yards, somewhere around there. But and I see Stevie Johnson because of volume, because I see that Buffalo Bills are probably going to be playing from behind, and they're going to have to throw the ball. So by the sheer volume of throwing the ball, Stevie Johnson is going to get about five catches and about 70 yards, somewhere around there. But they're going to be hard-fought yards. Very hard fought, tough yards to get. There's no surprises there. I've given you a few players, but not a lot, because it's really, as you go on, there's not as many surprises out there that I could give you. Let's go on to one of the oldest. I say oldest, but an old matchup with a lot of history. With a lot of history. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Dallas Cowboys. Ben Roethlisberger, one more week. Now, for those who played Roethlisberger last week, and I can't remember what the record is, but he has a losing record anytime he comes back from an injury the first game back. So this should be a little bit better. Quite naturally, the Cowboys are going to have a pass rush trying to get the best of Ben Roethlisberger. I see him throwing for about 250 yards, somewhere around there. Probably a touchdown. I like Jonathan Dwyer. I told you I liked him before, and I still like him. I think he's going to run for about 70, 80 yards, somewhere around there. Catching the ball a couple times out of the backfield, two or three times for about 20 yards. So I see him getting double-digit, especially in PPR, double-digit fantasy points. Heath Miller, who happens to be one of Roethlisberger's favorite targets, I see him getting double digits in PPR, four or five catches, 45, 50 yards, somewhere around there. He loves looking at him near the end zone. So I can almost guarantee they get near between the 10, at the 10-yard line and in from the end zone, he's looking Heath Miller's way. He's looking his way. I guarantee it. Big play wide receivers they have. Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown covers the short in the middle field, the short to intermediate. Mike Wallace is the long ball. I see both of those guys getting about four or five catches. 60 yards. It's a toss-up of who gets into the end zone. Moving over to the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo should be able to throw on this secondary that's been weakened with Ike Taylor not being in there. And he should be able to throw for about 280 yards, probably a touchdown. DeMarco Murray, Pittsburgh can be run on. Pittsburgh can be run on. DeMarco Murray is going to be able to run on here. Quite naturally, you play Jason Witten, Miles Austin, and let me see what's happening with Dez Bryant. He's dealing with a broken finger. Said it's up to him. He would play. He's expected to play. but look for the game time inactives, which should come out in the next half hour or so, and you'll see whether Dez Bryant is playing or not, and then you may want to go in a different direction. All right, let's move on to the Chiefs and the Raiders. Do we really have to talk about this? All right, last week, Darren McFadden came out and tweaked his ankle, said everything is fine. Now the whole week they're saying everything is fine, that he'll come back. He torched the last time he really had a real good day was against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now they're playing in Oakland. You know what? I know it's a roll of the dice. I know it's Darren McFadden, but I have him on a few of my teams. I didn't play him last week because I really wasn't too confident of him. But I'm going to take a shot. You have Darren McFadden, and you've been up in the air about him. In my opinion, play him. Play him. It's against the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's playing at home. Play him, okay? I would play Carson Palmer. I like the matchup of Carson Palmer here. I think Brandon Myers is going to be a viable tight end one here. That's about it. I don't like anything else gave you the quarterback, the running back, and a tight end. The three wide receivers, they're interchangeable, and they're too inconsistent for me. On the other side, what can I tell you? Dwayne Bowe is out. He's out for the rest of the season. So it's Dexter McCluster and Jonathan Baldwin. No, it's not. It's Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles and Jamaal Charles. That's it. Brady Quinn, forget it. That's all I got to say about that. Let's move on to 49ers and the Patriots. Okay. Colin Kaepernick is, again, the starter against the New England Patriots. In New England, is the Patriots going to do to the 49ers what they did to the Texans? They're going to try to. Let me put it this way. I think Colin Kaepernick is going to have a decent day. About 60 yards rushing, about 220 yards passing, probably throwing for at least one touchdown pass. Frank Gore, New England is pretty stout against the run. So they're going to limit you to passing the ball. So Frank Gore, 60 yards, I see that. Crabtree, 7 catches, 83 yards, somewhere around there. Vernon Davis, I think they're finally going to get Vernon Davis incorporated in here because they're not going to be able to run the ball because Bill Belichick's going to make Colin Kaepernick beat him. That's what he's going to do. New England Patriots. Do I say anything about Tom Brady? Come on. Let's move on. Stephen Ridley against a stout run defense. I don't think Stephen Ridley is going to be able to run that well against them. So 60 to 70 yards, and that's about it. It's in the passing game. Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez. Hernandez, 6 of 7 catches, 70, 75 yards. Welker is going to eat him up in the slot position. 8 catches, 110 yards. Brandon Lloyd, big play wide receiver, 4 or 5 catches, 50 to 60 yards. If out of the three, I think he's the one that doesn't get a end zone visit. Okay? We're going to be going over in overtime just for a short minute because I want to get this last game in there and give you my closing comments, and then we're out of here. Sorry. There's not too much this week because there's not a lot out there. I've gave you a few tight ends. I've given you a wide receiver or two. But otherwise than that, it's slimmer and slimmer pickings as we go further and further into the playoffs. Let's go to the Monday night game, which is I don't know who's going to watch this game. Only people going to watch this game are the ones that have to deal with fantasy – to deal with the fantasy playoffs. Excuse me. And before we do that, we're going to go into the overtime. And then I want to thank those listening for staying with me. But right now, we're into overtime right now. Thank you. All right. New York Jets at the Tennessee Titans. Mark Sanchez. You know, I don't think he's going to be doing too much in this game. I really don't. I think the pass rush, turnover waiting to happen. They're going to try to run the ball a lot, which they can run the ball a lot on the Tennessee Titans. They're one of the worst defenses against the run and the pass. So I think Sean Green, a combination of Sean Green and Bilal Powell, with the emphasis on Bilal Powell. I like Bilal Powell a lot better than I like Sean Green. In my opinion, even though Bilal Powell didn't practice because he's dealing with a shoulder, I like Bilal Powell. I think he's going to be the better of the two backs. But I wouldn't risk playing him unless you have no other choices and just want to take a flyer as a third running back or a fourth running back, or you're in a flex position and you're searching for someone that may give you some points. Bilal Powell, he happens to be the Jets' goal line back, so that may be where you get the points from. Otherwise than that, the only other guy that I can see on the Jets, and this is a long shot, would be Jeremy Curley. He's about the only decent option they have in the passing game. Four or five catches, about 60 yards. I see Jake Locker on the other end trying to throw through this Jet defense. 240 yards, probably a touchdown pass. Chris Johnson can run. I know a lot of sites are saying that he's not a good play. In my opinion, he is a real good play. Chris Johnson can run on this defense. They can be run on. They're not as good as they once were. I see Chris Johnson being able to get about 90 yards in here. And Kenny Britt probably being the only other option to play if you need a wide receiver. Kenny Britt would be a wide receiver three, about six catches, maybe 70, 75 yards, somewhere around there. I wouldn't guarantee because I think Antonio Cromartie is probably going to be on him. So you may want to temper those expectations. With that being said, I ran down all the games. Wasn't too many picks out there, but I tried to give you as much as I could. Hopefully that helped you out this week. Hopefully that come Tuesday morning, you're either a champion or you're into not a champion. You're either going into the championship or you're still alive in the playoffs, depending on your format in your league. Tune in next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be the Master Plan. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And I want you to win. That's all I want you to do is win. Tune into our other shows, too. We have one show on Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, BFSP Crew Show. I'll be the host along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Like I said, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have another controversial and political show for the most part. It's the No Chaser with Mac Williams. As the host, I am the co-host at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have the FSP show. I apologize for those who may have listened to the FSP show yesterday. I wasn't available, and the circumstances, the show didn't play as planned. So I want to thank those who are patient enough to deal with that mistake. Like I said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be back here again. All I want for you guys to do is win. That's what I want you to do each and every week, win.
They stay there. don't stop now. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it, my folks locked down. I never went nowhere.